Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mornings with Joe Lowen Dibs on 95.7 The Game, all up in those eardrums this morning. We are action-packed. Brad Evans, Yahoo Fantasy Sports, coming up in just a minute. He's going to answer all your fantasy questions. 888-957-9570. Tim Bontemps, national NBA writer for The Washington Post, in 30 minutes at 7:30. Bruno Mars tickets at 8:45, along with, at that time, 8-year NFL vet Chris Sims.
Chrissy Sims.
He's got a couple things to say. Looking forward to his thoughts on Mexico City Monday, Raiders versus Texans. Gentlemen, we all leave for Vegas today. Some by air, Dibs by bus.
One if I land, two if I see.
Hey, what's wrong with a little bus ride every now and then? The nice hum of tires hitting the road. 9 hours later, you're there. That's tough to beat.
You're like Bull Durham.
Yeah.
Minor league baseball, baby. Just traveling the country in a bus.
That's it. All I need is my cassette player Walkman, my old foam headphones, and I'm fine.
The advantage you have by traveling by bus is that by the time you arrive, I'll already be down $3,000. Me getting there sooner is not a good thing. Me also staying there late into Sunday night when everyone's flying home earlier, trouble. But we'll see. I'm going to keep all that updated. As for those of you who will be joining us for the Andre Ward-Sergey Kovalev fight, we will be doing pre-fight drinks. We will be doing post-fight drinks. We're not exactly sure yet. Follow us on social media, Twitter, 957 The Game, Joe Fortenball on Twitter, Dibs and Lowe. We'll be updating it throughout the day. So it's going to be one of those kind of social media gatherings. More on that in about 15 minutes. But for now, we begin with an update.
And the Golden State Warriors, Joe, win again. They shook off a little bit of a rough first quarter and beat the Raptors 127-121. Andre Iguodala, a great night off the bench.
Draymond Green gives the ball to Iguodala on the wheel to Thompson. Off the screen by Pachulia. Draymond inside Pachulia. Up top Iguodala. He's wide open for three, and it's money in the bank for Andre.
Iguodala with a good performance, Joe. Steph Curry, 35. KD with 30. But Iguodala's contribution, critical.
You know what was sweet about Iguodala? A lot of people didn't notice this after the game. He did a post-game interview with Roz on the court. And right before the interview started, you hear Iguodala go, the line was 6. You hear him reference the Vegas spread. Game landed exactly on 6, thanks to some interesting calls over the final 2 minutes that put some guys on the line.
Wow, I didn't hear that part of the interview. I did actually hear him talk about people taking turns having big nights.
We have good intentions. You know, guys are going to have good nights. One night may not be your night. The next night might be your night. And then for a few guys, every night's their night. So we understand that. That's why we have veterans like myself and Shai Livingston and David West. And we got some young guys we're bringing up, too. Pat McCall, he's going to be really good. He's going to take my spot and be out of a job. But looking forward to life after basketball.
Taking pride in the bench play for sure. Clippers lose, by the way. Warriors just a half game back of L.A. Story number two, week 11 in the NFL gets started tonight. New Orleans playing at Carolina. I turn to Mr. Primetime, Lorenzo Neal. What do you think tonight, Lo? New Orleans at Carolina.
It's a tough game. Both these teams are trying to sneak, keep their playoff hopes alive. It's going to be an interesting game. You know what? If I had to pick, you put me on the spot, I'd have to say take the home team, Carolina. They need to bounce back. But I like the over in this game, Dibs.
He likes the over. The fantasy angle from Brad Evans of Yahoo Sports. Up in moments. Story number three, Sharks game 5 of 6 on this road trip. Tonight in St. Louis, puck drops at 5. The update brought to you by Dolan's Lumber, Doors and Windows. Find lower prices, better service, and higher quality at Dolan's. I'm Dan Dibley on your new home for the Golden State Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
I don't give a damn about no damn Drake night, Dibs.
Well, he took it hard, didn't he?
That was such a great quote. Such a great quote. More on KD's big night, KD versus Drake, coming up in a little bit. To the folks we go, Brad Evans, Yahoo Fantasy Sports, the absolute best in the business, joining Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Goat, good morning. Saints at Panthers. Tequila Thursday, we suddenly have a half-decent game here.
Yeah, I think the agave is going to flow a little bit differently tonight, gentlemen. Look, the over-under right now in Vegas at 52.5, and I agree with Lowe. I think I'd be hammering the over on this one. I think it is going to be an exciting affair. You know the weaknesses of both these teams. Defensively, it's downfield coverage. I mean, Carolina giving up 7.8 yards per attempt. New Orleans right around 8 yards per attempt on the season. The Saints also struggling in the trenches, though they have shown some improvement. They've only allowed one rush score to the running back position over the last 4 weeks. But the last time Jonathan Stewart faced this team, over 80 yards and found the end zone twice. So, yeah, fire up Cam Newton. Fire up Jonathan Stewart. Fire up all the wide receivers of the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees. The only guy that I'm down on in this game, actually two guys, Mark Ingram and also Tim Hightower, still immersed in a near 50-50 split. And the one thing that Carolina does well defensively is bottle up the run. They're only giving up 3.5 yards per carry. So if I set an over-under of like 69.5 combined yards for Ingram, I think he's got to go well south of that.
Brad Evans, Yahoo Fantasy Sports with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Before we turn it over to the callers, 888-957-9570, I wanted to get your thoughts on the running back situation in two cities, Seattle and Green Bay. Kristen Michael was cut from Seattle but quickly signed by the Green Bay Packers. How should we view both running back depth charts at the moment?
All right, let's start with Green Bay. I would rather watch Ben Carson talk for 2 hours than than add Kristen Michael to my fantasy roster. He's got no interest whatsoever. And I know this is a guy that was a top 10 fantasy running back from weeks 4 through 10, but he's now been cut for like, what, the fourth or fifth time in his career? Where there's smoke, there's fire. There's a reason why. Now, Seattle's saying, well, this is purely a positional move. It had nothing to do with any off-the-field issues or locker room issues or anything of that sort. And that may be the case, but James Starks knows the system. James Starks is trusted by Mike McCarthy. Michael's got to step in. Lowe, as you know, when you go from an old team to a new team, you have to learn new protections, and it takes time for that to absorb. What we've heard, you know, Kristen Michael, not exactly the fastest learner historically in his NFL career. That's why he's bounced around so much. So I'd be shocked if Michael makes an impact at any point on the rest of the calendar this year. It's still going to be Ty Montgomery and mostly James Starks in that backfield moving forward. And I like Starks this week as a borderline top 20 option going against a Washington front, allowing over 4.5 yards per carry to the running back position. Now, meanwhile, in Seattle, we just got a report off the wire this morning from Chris Mortensen of ESPN that C.J. Procise is likely to start, though Thomas Rawls is expected to return. Now, Pete Carroll said yesterday that Rawls is going to get considerable run. My guess, Rawls gets around 11 to 13 touches, most of that on early downs and also in goal line situations. C.J. Procise sprinkled in as a guy that's kind of a beefed up version of Tevin Coleman, if you will, probably get around 14 to 16 touches and a tremendous asset in a full PPR league. Though in a standard format, I would err on the side of Rawls.
All right, to the phones we go. Remember, two rules. Try to keep it tight so we can get to as many as possible. Number two, if you want to make goat noises before you start your question, that is highly encouraged. Dan in San Jose, you're on with the goat.
Yeah, I'm in a PPR league, and I was wondering if it'd be a smart move to trade Jordan Howard for Todd Gurley. And who is the better flex play? Is it Crowell or Jeremy Hill?
Well, I'm definitely going to go with Isaiah Crowell, because you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, they couldn't stop a toddler right now in terms of run defense. I mean, they're a joke. Second most fantasy points allowed. I think Crowell, yeah, you worry about game flow getting out of hand in that contest, but I could see him getting an early touchdown and around 70 to 80 yards, so I would start him. You are not trading Jordan Howard for Todd Gurley. Have you seen Todd Gurley play this year? I mean, he looks terrible right now. He looks like a one-legged version of Trent Richardson. I mean, this wow. is how bad he's performed. He's RB26 on a per-game basis, and it's not necessarily a knock against his baseline talents because he's a phenomenally talented guy. It's just a deplorable situation that's gotten worse now because Jared Goff's going to be under center, and if you watched Hard Knocks, the guy doesn't know where the sun rises and sets, for crying out loud. So, no, I want nothing to do with Todd Gurley. The only thing that's appealing about him is he plays San Francisco. Let's see, I believe that is week 16. So, you know, he could definitely maybe win you a title, but he's not going to get you to the title game. Jordan Howard certainly has more upside in that capacity.
David and Newman, go ahead. You're on with the GOAT.
I think Joe answered my question about Rawls and Procise, but I want to know about Rashad Jennings over Terrence West.
Yeah, I would actually go with the hotter hand there in Jennings. He ran with conviction on Monday night. You know, I thought Paul Perkins would get the upper hand in that backfield in short order just because he had fresher legs. And, you know, Jennings entering the game and averaged just 2.6 yards per carry on the season. But he got downhill in a hurry late in the contest, had that game sealing about 9-yard run. I think he will probably head up the committee this week. You know, you look at the matchup, they're facing the Chicago Bears. Bears actually quite good against the run here. That's the one area that they've excelled in here recently. But I think he's just got more upside, you know, compared to the other option there. So give me the G-men and Rashad Jennings this week.
Mike in Daly City, you're on with Brad Evans, Yahoo Fantasy Sports. Mike in Daly City, go ahead.
Nah. I got Mike Wallace or Allen Hurns. Peace.
Oh, God, you're still rostering Allen Hurns? You know, you want to talk about a guy that's taken a precipitous fall in fantasy this year. It's Hurns. So touchdown dependent last season, and those touchdowns have dried up here in 2016. Very few and far between. I know it's the Hello Kitties of Detroit. And I think that game's got some sneaky shootout appeal, but I'm going to go with Mike Wallace. You know, you face a Dallas Cowboys secondary down more is Claiborne. Skandrick may not be able to go in this game either, so that unit is hurting. And it just takes one deep throw from Flacco. Wallace can reel it in and rip off a 70-yard touchdown. So I'm going to play for that high ceiling compared to the very low floor in the other direction with the other player mentioned there. So give me 60 minutes, Mike Wallace.
Rob in Hayward's got a wide receiver question. Rob in Hayward, you're on with the GOAT. Brad Evans, Yahoo Fantasy Sports. Go ahead.
Matt. I want to ask a question, Sterling Shepard or Kenny Stills?
Wow, Kenny Stills. I haven't heard that name in a while asked in a fantasy question. I'm going to go with Sterling Shepard there, and this is all volume play here, okay? The one thing you can do on the Chicago Bears is throw on this unit. This is a very weak secondary. You know, you look at Sterling Shepard, this is a guy that's probably going to get around 6 to 8, maybe 9 targets. Did find the end zone last week. He's usually good for around 4 to 5 receptions. I know that was, you know, his first touchdown, I believe, in his last 5 games that he scored on Monday night. But, again, just a higher ceiling there overall compared to Kenny Stills. And I know Stills, you know, has a fair matchup this week going against the Los Angeles Rams. But with Trumaine Johnson back in uniform, that unit is more formidable than you think in terms of pass defense. So, again, I am going with Sterling Shepard over Stills.
Brad Evans, Yahoo Fantasy Sports with Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Wayne in San Jose, you're on with the GOAT. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning. I'm just wondering which one of these running back would you prefer? Mark Ingram, Kenneth Dixon, or Deion Lewis if he's active? Thank you.
Yeah, Deion Lewis is going to be eased in if he sees the field at all. I'd be shocked if he played anything more than, like, say, 15 or so snaps. You had me at Ken Dixon, a guy that just triggers my salivary glands. It's like Pavlov and the dogs. You ring a bell, and they start salivating. You mentioned Ken Dixon, and it's waterworks in my mouth just at the mere upside of this kid. You look at Terrence West last week. He looked like a dinosaur stuck in a tar pit, guys. 3.1 yards per carry against Cleveland? Cleveland. I know the offensive line has got some injuries there, but Dixon on 11 touches, 80 yards, average over 6 yards per tote. Showed the shimmy, showed the shake. This is a guy that I was enamored with when he came out of Louisiana Tech. Rolled up video game numbers for the Bulldogs there in his collegiate career, and he's finally healthy. And I think you're going to see the scale tilt to the side of the rookie in this contest. You look at the Cowboys, they're giving up 5.1 receptions per game to the running back position, over 4 yards per carry. I love me some Ken Dixon this week. I got him down for 80 to 90 combined yards and his first NFL touchdown.
He's Brad Evans, Yahoo Fantasy Sports, and he's the absolute best in the business. GOAT, as always. Thank you for being so generous with your time. We appreciate it. Enjoy Tequila Thursday, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Enjoy the ladies of the night in Vegas, gentlemen. See ya.
I'm not sure what he's referring to.
Me neither. I'm just going down there to eat well and get sleep. I just want to get some rest.
That's
work
right.
on my base tan.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of Vegas, Andre Ward versus Sergey Kovalev, T-Mobile Arena, Saturday night HBO pay-per-view. We're leaving this afternoon and this evening to get down there. We will be broadcasting live from the MGM Grand tomorrow morning. Still wondering what the odds are on everyone actually making it to the Radio Row portion of the hotel on time. We can set odds on that later. But for now, we are going to be doing a roommate draft. Ooh. A roommate draft. Ooh. Between Lorenzo Neal, Dan Dibley, myself, and Cody, our producer, the bearded one. If you need a visual, think of Alan from The Hangover. He's basically Alan from The Hangover.
Not quite similar as fun to hang out with.
Right. Clearly
much
not as funny.
More predictable.
Or Al Borland from Tim the Toolman Taylor. You
know, Al Borland is that's a very good one as well. Combination Al Borland. Anyone you've ever thought of named Al. Al Borland, Alan from The Hangover, and certainly not Al Michaels. I wouldn't disrespect him.
Al
like that.
Hrabowski for the older crowd. Equally bearded. Equally tough on lefties.
Not Al Gore either. But we're trying to figure out. We haven't gotten the confirmation yet from the hotel as to how this thing is going to shake down. So we might have to do some fancy footwork to figure out if we're all getting our own rooms or if we're going to be sharing,
right,
and who's going to share with who. So that's why we turn it over to you, the callers, you, the listeners. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, or to the text line 95795. You can go ahead and weigh in with your reasons why you would pick someone or stay away from someone. To the 510, the perv who's taking Anna in the first round. Yes, we understand. She's going to win the perv vote. Anna is going to win the perv vote when we break it down. But that being said, today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, fellas. So that's the question today. Which morning show personality would you rather room with? Joe Fortenbaugh, Lorenzo Neal, Dan Dibley, or our producer, Cody Elias? You can vote on 957thegame.com. Polls on the right-hand side of the page. Also go to Twitter at 957thegame. Use the hashtag Take Your Pick.
Okay.
It's an easy choice. I mean, the choice is clearly me. You've got low Neal.
You got flatulence issues, dude.
Well, that was just occasionally. I am prone to the occasional gaseous Bomsky. It was ferocious, and I'm going to have to wear that one for quite some time. Low Neal, notoriously short-armed when it comes to chipping in. You strike me, Joe, as a guy who probably doesn't sleep. You're up doing stats and numbers all night, and let's be honest, our producer, flat broke, not very exciting. The choice here is clear. It's me.
You've got to treat this draft like you would any other draft. If you're building a team, what's the criteria you're looking for? The things I would be ruling out, the red flags, so to speak.
Sure.
We're talking about roommates here, all right? So you don't need to have the greatest personality. You got to have control over your bowels. You're out. You
Amen.
Can't share a small space with someone who can't control their bowels. Dibs, you move to the bottom of my board. Dibs, you are off my board, all right? That's how that would work. That's priority number one.
Wow.
Number two, to give Low Neal some credit, I've roomed with him quite a few times so far. Good roommate. No nasty habits or anything like that. I've really never had much to complain about. Plus, I prefer if we have to share a hotel room, I like to be the one up first to get the shower and get my day moving.
Sure.
Low would prefer to be the second, so we fit real well there.
Okay.
For Cody, he's also out because of what happened in spring training. I had the room with him in Arizona.
Tell it.
We went out real briefly. We went out Saturday night for the... Now, there was a big UFC fight. Was that McGregor-Diaz or was that... That was McGregor-Jose Aldo,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The quick knockout.
Right.
All right. So we're out. I had way too much to drink. We were all having a good time. That was a stack the shelves night. I was the only one on the dance floor.
Anna, you missed it.
You laugh. I was the only one to start on the dance floor, but by the time I was done, the place was popping off.
This is true.
Your boy got it started.
He
stacking
it.
The shelves is a thing down there in Scottsdale right now. It's going to spread across the country. But next morning, I'm waking up, and the first thing, my eyes open, my face is trained directly on the clock, the alarm clock. And all I wanted to do Sunday morning was go to brunch. There was this great brunch spot down the street. Got a reservation and everything. Needed to be there by 10. Open my eyes. It's 10:30 in the morning.
Oh.
I am immediately. That's how my day opens. As soon as the eyelids open, disappointment. And I was so mad. And before my brain could even process how mad I was, my eyes pan a quarter inch to the left. Cody's sitting on the other bed on the edge, closest to my bed, just sitting there doing nothing, looking at me.
Yeah.
Looking at me.
Just watching him sleep.
Yeah. Watching him sleep. That's not weird. And before, that's not weird.
And before my brain can process how disturbing this is, his mouth opens and he goes, "You spent $800 last night." And it's like three things at once destroying my entire day.
Sure.
I missed brunch. Weirdos staring at me when I'm sleeping, and then I ended up spending way too much money last night. That's how I opened my day. And from then on, I was just I don't think you could start a day worse than that.
That's tough, especially for a guy who loves brunch as much as you love brunch.
Yeah, and he's staring and at him, though. He's sitting on the bed just like staring. Like,
that is
for
a little
odd. That's weird. That's not weird.
Definitely off my list.
Yeah,
that was yeah.
Wakes up and he's got the big bear looking at him.
Yeah,
what do you want?
The brunch was like the third worst thing that happened in that sequence. It was the third worst thing. I can miss brunch. I don't want Al Borland staring at me when I'm sleeping. And I don't want to immediately find out I lost $800. I take it you have something you'd like to weigh in with here?
Remember who bought you breakfast that day?
It was a $4 breakfast burrito and it's terrible. But that is true because everything was maxed out had no access to any cash. I had like a crumpled up one in my pocket because any night I get hammered, I'll always wake up with $1 or $2. For some reason, I can't spend them. There's just one or two left. He did pick me up for breakfast.
And shoot, 90% of the bill was mine. So I felt bad and I bought him a water at the airport, not the gas station. I think I bought you a water and some jerky just because I felt so bad.
Because you soaked him so hard at the bar.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that.
Well, we all had a nice time at the bar. But Lowe invited his whole entourage, his posse.
Of course.
So to speak. His posse, if I'm allowed to say that. I don't know if
I worked too hard. I worked hard to build my name, Joe. I worked hard.
I'm sorry. Lowe's associates came out with their wives and everyone just had a ball.
That's
I was
great.
So busy dancing, I didn't see everyone charging it up on my tab.
My wife did.
I didn't know they charged, man. They think I'm still playing the league. I was like, the next day, I was like, no way, Joe. Then he's like, you know, Joe's cool.
Yeah.
When it comes to money, one thing I can say about Joe, he's cool, even though he'll just like swallow. But I know it's how he's thinking because I'd be thinking the same way. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to make this right. But anyways, these guys come and we're feeling good, had no pain. And all of a sudden, I'm just seeing. I didn't know that they were going crazy like that. We left and they were still up there charging.
Wow.
And then our other buddy, he ended up signing the check and leaving a big tip.
Oh, yeah. That was the best part. I didn't close out on my own because I'm completely incoherent at this point. I ordered 5 different Ubers and just kept canceling them. And I got charged for all those.
Yeah.
So I had this. And then it turns out we're only a half mile away, so I could have walked. But I charged and canceled 5 Ubers. So I woke up to an email inbox filled with $5 charges for that.
You would have got lost.
Right. And whoever
home.
Signed out for me, 25% tip, like 25-30%. Just, you know, the guy treated us really well. Actually, no, he didn't. We were at the bar, so it wasn't like he had to go through a lot of extra work.
It wasn't dinner, it was drinks.
And if you're stepping in and you'd have to power rank this situation, how are you setting your draft board?
All right, so power ranking, also assuming it's, you know, I'm not, you know, since I'm opposite sex, it's okay, different.
Right, but not as if we'd actually be staying in the same room.
Paul knows. Anna, Paul knows. You're good.
I know.
We're good.
Yeah. All right, so looking at, based on my personality, I am I'm a very relaxed individual when it comes to vacationing, so I'm going to automatically nix out Cody and Joe. Just because you're too uptight for me. Sorry, Joe.
Can't argue that.
Yeah.
Can't argue that.
I am a little bit uneasy about the room smells.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry Dan Dibley. Also, I feel like you'd go to sleep at like 8:30 at night. I don't know. I get that sense from
closer
you.
To 8:15.
Okay, so I'm not too far off.
You want to have
like,
one
I
more
feel
drink
really bad.
Or watch something on TV and Dibs is like, can we turn the TV off? I'm trying to sleep here, Anna.
Exactly. I feel bad like stumbling
I don't
in.
Know.
So I'm gonna have to go low Neil on this one. Low is the top of my draft board here.
Lowe's going to come stumbling in at 2 a.m. and wake everybody up, turning lights on, knocking desks over, the whole thing.
She wanted to go with sexy chocolate. There we go. I can understand that.
Platonic.
That's it.
The text line's all over the place here. From the 408, Dibs, hands down. We could talk soccer all night at the club.
Oh, yeah.
From the 707, Anna, I wasn't being disrespectful. She knows that.
Yeah,
we're all
I
having
know.
Fun here. From the 225, PPR League, Flexbot, Rashad Jennings, or... James Starks, beat it. We're already past that segment. 510, I'm rooming with Lowe, but I'm leaving my wallet in the car.
Oh, man.
Love it.
Please bring your
Let's
wallet.
Be honest.
Rooming with John Black.
Please. Yeah. John Black. Pro Bowl name. There you go.
Part of rooming with Lo O'Neal requires you to pay for everything. You have to understand that. He will raid the mini bar and you will pay for it.
That is an issue.
Memberships has its privileges.
All right. The Warriors finally got a lift from their bench, but it was what happened after the game that was even more enticing. Joe Lo and Dibs, that's coming up next. 95.7 The Game.
Enjoy the ladies of the night in Vegas, gentlemen.
How about that ride in? I guess that's why they call it Sin City.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I don't give a damn about no damn Drake night.
Bounce pass to Pachulia. Top of the key. Backdoor cut. Durant. Look out. Right hand slam for Kevin Durant. Bringing the pass to Curry. Right side. Spacing the floor for three. Knocked it down. Curry goes up with the right hand. Up a high off the glass and good. Durant spins down the left side. Fights his way to the front court. Pulls up for three and got it. That's a buzzer. Ball knocked away by Durant. Picked up by Curry. Curry on the bounce. KD on the break. Right hand slam. Everybody get out of the way. Curry down to Durant. Durant low right. Shot clock at 10. Finds Curry. Stops and pops the jumper. Good again. It's another three for Curry. Durant holds the ball and the buzzer sounds. Final score from Toronto. The Warriors run their record to 9-2. 127-121.
Oh, the trend comes to an end. That was the fourth ever Drake night in Toronto. Previously, the Raptors were 3-0 on Drake night, but sorry, Toronto fans. The Golden State Warriors 127. Toronto Raptors 121. Welcome back. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. 8:45 a.m. this morning. We're giving away two tickets to see Bruno Mars.
I think I want to marry you.
Oh, criteria established. Criteria established, gentlemen. Y'all a bunch of haters on the text line, by the way. See, everyone gives me grief for being maybe too truthful or too harsh at times. Joe, you know, it's the Bay Area. We're a lot more relaxed here. We're a lot less serious. From the 510, I'm drafting Joe number one. He knows Vegas. I'll pick his brain for beat the bookie, bet the exact opposite, win a ton, and then pick up the brunch tab since he'll be broke. That's from Vince.
Golly, Vince.
Damn,
why
Vince.
Why are you so rough on
him,
Vince?
I thought it started nice at first, and then nope.
Oh, it was all set up.
Boom.
And then, where is it? From the 510, I'm rooming with Joe and lose all my money that night on his projection bets. Troy, 510.
Yeah, Troy.
A lot of haters out there. A lot of haterade on this fine Thursday morning at 7:34.
Yes, he did.
All right, so 127-121 is your final. The Golden State Warriors have now won 9 of their last 10 games. And get this, Dibs. Golden State is the first team in 26 years to record 30 or more assists and shoot 50% or greater from the field in 5 straight games. So do we really need to be that concerned about defense when you're that electric on the offensive end of the court?
Not at this point. You don't. And when you're playing a team like Toronto with an okay defense, you don't have to worry about it because you're going to be able to hang 120 on them. And if you look at how the game unfolded, you're starting to see a little bit of a pattern here. Loose first quarter, fall behind, rally late, second quarter come in, start playing defense. By the time you come out of the locker room for that third quarter, Steph Curry takes his game into another world. Kevin Durant becomes unguardable. And the defense steps up as well, and that's where the team has been winning these games.
Steph leads the charge with 35 points on 10 of 19 shooting last night. He's also 12 of 13 from the line. KD second with 30 points low. That second quarter last night is what changed the game flow. The Warriors outscore the Toronto Raptors 32-15. More importantly, they stepped it up big time on the defensive end of the court, limiting Toronto in the second quarter, 5 of 24 from the field.
It was one in the second quarter. You alluded to it, Joe, because the second quarter was pretty much the only quarter they really dominated and won. The rest of the quarters, you look at Toronto, it seemed like they scored a little bit more, but the Warriors were able to do what they needed to do in that second quarter, play defense at opportune times and say, look, we have to lock down. We have to make a statement. We need to do this. And it's just great to see a team say, okay, everyone's saying, hey, okay, are we this super team or not? They go on the road, go into a hostile environment. You know, I know Toronto's coming off a back-to-back, but you got Drake in the house. You got the sold-out crowd. They were able to make a statement last night, and they were able to play against a big guy. They said, can this team play against a big guy? Hey, Draymond Green matched this big guy in scoring. I mean, when you look at it, it was like, shoot, he scored, what, 12? I think Draymond 11. So when you have those, when you have something like that that happens, it switches the tide. So we got to see a team get after it, battle, and that was just a big win for this Golden State Warriors team.
Bobby Marks, former Nets assistant general manager, he's now with The Vertical on Yahoo. He's coming up in 9 minutes at 7:45. Alden Smith, it's been 1 year to the day since he was banished from the NFL. What's Roger Goodell going to do? That's coming up at 8 a.m. in 24 minutes. Andre Iguodala, he shut me up. Yesterday I asked Tim Roy, you know, Iguodala's off to a bit of a slow start. Is he maybe battling an injury? Are we maybe seeing some signs of old age? Just trying to figure out if something was wrong. And Roy was like, no. He's looking good. He's looking good. Everything's fine. Give it some time. Last night, best game of the season. 10 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, plus 15. The Warriors outscored the Raptors by 15 points when Iguodala was on the court. He only played 25 minutes, but he was 4-of-4 from the field. More importantly, he was part of that second quarter defensive charge that led to a 21-4 run to end the half. But did anyone catch his comment right before he spoke to Roz last night?
Better believe it.
He got his first post-game interview of the year. And right before Roz asks the first question, you hear Iguodala go, the line was 6. The Warriors won by exactly 6. The Vegas line was 6 last night. Iguodala references it, and then they begin the interview. Raj just passed over it, but right. I thought that was pretty funny if you're paying attention.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's very peculiar, and you always wonder if these guys, and Lo, you know this from playing football, do the pro athletes know what the spread is? And a lot of times they do. I mean, we think that they don't, but guys aren't dumb.
Dude, guys get the paper all the time. You're taking a dibs in the morning in the locker room. And
you're taking a dibs.
Don't enable that. Is that what we're calling it now?
Time out. I'm sorry. I'm throwing the flag on that whistle. We're going to call it taking a dibs moving forward.
You like that?
Yeah. It's done. It's rules.
And you got the paper. And shoot. Guys are creatures of the habit. They want to see what people are saying about them. They also want to see, oh, wow, we don't have a chance. No one's giving us a chance. And they look at the lines. Absolutely.
Oh, I'm supposed to participate further. Good one, Lo.
I'm done.
The best thing about, I love you, bro. That's why I love you. That's why I wouldn't be your roommate either, because I love you so much.
Stop talking so much dibs over there, Lo.
Okay. I see where we're going.
That was
now.
Even better.
Oh, man. Oh, we're cooking with gas right now. Or we could say we're cooking with dibs right now.
We're on a roll, man.
Laurel and flipping Hardy over here.
I don't know where this segment goes from here, but we've already pinnacled for
right
the show.
Right in the toilet. That's where it goes.
Damn, right to where you keep your dibs.
Hey, Joe, if I may, if we can talk sports here for a change, as I'm going to be a little bit serious here.
Sorry.
Iguodala came back in the game with 4.5 to go in the second quarter.
That's what I was going to say. You made me remember something.
They were up by 1. And go ahead and take a playoff. By the time you go to halftime, the Warriors all of a sudden are up by 13. So that was the stretch when he came in. They kicked up the defense. They shut down Toronto. And it was Andre Iguodala who was a big part of that defensively.
Yeah, you could say in the second quarter that Toronto really dibs the bed in that situation. Oh, Lo, come on, man. That was a good one.
It was a great one. I
you don't even know what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah, the dibs, of course.
You're trying to get something set up back there?
Because I was going to talk about his interview. We were talking about Iguodala, since we're on Iguodala.
Yes.
I really wanted to play his interview, and I want you to listen to the whole interview, Joe. And there are some things that he says, and it's pretty profound, and listen what he's alluding to.
Okay.
We'll
do that in a little bit, apparently.
Absolutely.
They're still dialing it up back there.
Yes. So, but what he's, if you heard him, he talked about his backup. Talk about his team and how off nights, good nights, certain guys on every night. But he's saying, there's someone in the wings that is pressing me. And it was, you know, he joked about it, but it was still some reality to it. So maybe later on we'll talk about that. But I think you would get something out of what Iguodala was trying to say.
I think our producer's taking a dibs, to be honest with you. I don't see him right now. So we're going to try to set everything else up.
He's listening. How about this?
Drake last night, what his little stunt after the game, bumping into KD afterwards, KD trying to do an interview. You know, back in the day, when these beefs used to be settled face-to-face.
Yeah.
You had East Coast, you had West Coast, you took it to the studio. You put it out there.
Sure.
You didn't just walk up behind some guy when he's busy,
right,
give him a shoulder and your little sweatshirt, and then keep walking. Do it like a man, Drake.
Eminem.
Do it like a man. Rebel. Do we have KD's comments on Drake?
We don't have nothing right now. The dibs is going on.
I don't give a damn about no damn Drake night.
But you know what? You know, it stemmed. See, everyone thinks, oh, that bump did it. It stemmed when KD was on the sideline getting ready to check in, Joe. He's sitting there, on, you know, waiting for the timeout or the next play. Drake gets up because they just hit a three. Drake gets up and goes over Dorn Aaron where he's sitting on the score table. And I think I think NBA is going to do something about this. I'm telling you. Even though they're cool and they're the stars, Drake, we don't go jump up on the stage when you're performing. Sit your black butt down. And what he did, he went over to KD and pointed, how you like that? So got up out of his seat, walked over, and KD didn't pay him any mind. He just wanted to keep his eyes on the prize. That's getting ready to go get back in the game and do work. That stemmed. You know, that was the corporate that made KD like, dude, I don't care about this dude. It's unprofessional to come. He's on the sideline just waiting to get in the game. Drake gets up after his team hits a three and get in his face and start yelling.
Yeah, but that's how it works for some of these guys. The beauty of the NBA is you can sit courtside. A lot of people have said of any sport to be the closest, that's where you want to be.
Yeah.
The NFL is the worst to be the closest because you can't see the field.
Everyone's
you want to
standing
be a little
up,
bit higher.
Right.
I had tickets. It was like the eighth row from the field for the Rose Bowl the year Michigan lost to USC and Matt Leinart, right?
Sure.
I thought these were going to be great, like 45-yard line. You're so low, you can't see what's happening on the other end of the field. NFL, you want to be a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, for me, I'd like to be in the end zone in the upper level, get the tape view, the coach's tape view. But that's just me personally. NBA is where you want to be courtside. I don't think you're going to be able to limit Drake from talking smack in those games, especially on Drake night. That's his night.
But he got up. He got out of his chair, Joe.
I don't disagree.
And then he walked over to Dornier, the scorer's table. I mean, I just think there's a little – I mean, you don't do that. I mean, I understand you can yell and hackle from where you're sitting and stand up right there. But don't walk over. This guy's in a game flow. And I think KD took offense to that.
Really Any did. Other fan does that, they get thrown out.
No question.
I mean, that's bottom line.
Period.
Bottom
except for
line.
Jack and except for Spike Lee, though. Drake's probably in that class. The type of person that because you know them, because they've established themselves, they might be able to get away with a little bit more. And let's remember, Drake and KD, I think they're friends. Wasn't KD up on stage Drake was performing at Oracle
friends,
a few months ago?
They're friends, but KD's trying to work, though, man. He was trying to work.
Right.
Now, he was trying to work, Cuddy.
Drake was wearing that Doris Burke sweatshirt last night that everyone seemed to get a kick out of. But Draymond Green had this to say after the game, quote, "The shirt was really nice, but his boots were so bad, and I was a little disappointed in his outfit overall. It's Drake night. You got to bring better boots than that." So Draymond Green letting Drake know, unacceptable.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, Bobby Marks, assistant general manager, he's up next. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Is Brock Osweiler good enough to beat the Raiders? Ted Johnson joins us coming up at 8:30. Now, back to Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Good morning and welcome back. Alden Smith, it's been 1 year since the NFL banished him. So when will Roger Goodell make his decision on whether or not Alden Smith can rejoin the Raiders? That's coming up at 8 o'clock. But very happy to welcome in Bobby Marks, former Nets assistant general manager. He's now with The Vertical on Yahoo. Good morning, Bobby. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing really well. So the Warriors win their ninth game in 10 tries last night, coming off the defeat against San Antonio to open the season. Andre Iguodala has one of his bigger performances of the year, but interesting post-game press conference. A lot of people reading too into it when he made the comment about how Patrick McCaw might take over for him next year. Based on the financial structure of how this team set up with the Steph Curry deal coming down the pike, is there any chance this team is able to bring back Iguodala last year? Do you think this is his last season with the Dubs?
Well, I think it's going to depend on what his salary is going to come back at, you know, this upcoming summer. And I think if you looked at what a Luol Deng made last July, then I think then that might be a realistic approach that he might not be back. We still don't know what some of these new CBA rules are going to be with both sides trying to hammer out a deal before December 15th. So we don't know if some of these cap holds could be a little bit higher. So that might take, put into the financial equation. You also might have Durant opt into his deal. That's not a foregone conclusion. And if that happens, then certainly you can afford to, bring back an Iguodala or Livingston. But that was always the challenge for Golden State when you went out and got Durant. this past summer, as far as it wasn't about this year, but it was about next year, as far as how you can kind of try to keep some of these pieces together.
The idea of Andre Iguodala taking less money to stay in a situation where he's comfortable, how often does that happen in the NBA where guys sacrifice dollars for situation?
Well, I think it has to. I think you have to look at it as there are certain guys that who are either have won a championship or going after a championship. I mean, we saw with David West the last last couple of years in San Antonio. We saw it this year where he opted out of a $10 million plus deal in Indiana to try to win a championship. So I think you have to look at where that player is in their part of their. Their career. He's in his early 30s and everything, and he's made a good amount of money in Golden State and also in Philadelphia. So but he also has probably his last big contract, so I think that all kind of comes into equation. And plus, he won a championship. So is there a different role for him somewhere else? Could he possibly start for a team? Is that what he's looking for? So I think there's a lot of different factors. But also, as you guys know, there's certainly a comfort level there in Golden State, and that all certainly weighs pretty heavily.
Well, Emma Strong, in the world of sports, usually offense entertains, but we understand defense wins championships. You saw last year in Game 7, Cleveland was able to keep them under 100 points, under 90. Do you think this team can win a championship with the way that they're playing, as far as the defensive side of the ball?
Well, it's going to be interesting. And I think when you look at how the schedule, it allows them to at least do the first, 11 games. And now, over the next 10 games, it's going to allow them to figure out a lot of different things with this team. And they have, I think, from a strength of schedule, I think it's 27th, and they've got a little bit of a soft spot. So you're going to be able to, from a defensive standpoint, they're a little bit better on the road. And I think them being on the road right now will certainly help. But you watch last night's game, you really have to, if it's Toronto or another team, you cannot give this Golden State team extra possession. And I think that's what we saw. But there's a lot of teams right now that, from a defensive standpoint, are struggling. You're seeing a lot of these teams with new head coaches are certainly, in the bottom of the league. And when we get to, May and June, I just think it's hard to put an A-level performance for four games to win and beat a team like this right now.
Bobby Marks, former Nets assistant general manager. He's now with The Vertical on Yahoo, doing tremendous work, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Phil Jackson made some news a couple days ago when he referred to LeBron James and his posse in an interview with ESPN, talking about his time in Miami and when he apparently wanted to get the team to stay overnight in Cleveland rather than get back on the plane and fly out. Do you think Phil meant to use the word posse? How did you read that situation? Because this really took on a life of its own. A Maverick Carter, James's business associate, took offense to the term. LeBron had to speak out on the term. Was Phil trying to take a dig at him? Or is this just an older guy who really wasn't maybe necessarily sure of the word he was using?
Well, it was the magic word. It's almost like when an NBA player gets thrown out of a game. Usually there's one or two magic words that gets them thrown out. And that certainly, it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, from LeBron's camp to certainly people across the league. And I think when you look back at the interview and we take out the LeBron stuff, there's a lot of things in there you can dissect that Phil should have probably kept his mouth shut. The part where, and he must have gotten this from another team about the incident on the plane when, LeBron wanted to, I guess, host the team for Thanksgiving dinner. He must have gotten that either from Pat Riley or from another team. And you look at a lot of, little pieces that, that's some of the stuff that nobody really has talked about, is that some of that stuff you just keep in house and there's no need for it to kind of get out in the open and everything. And, it just seems like he can't help himself. For him, I think the best thing for him to do is try to figure out what he can do with this Knick team, who's below 500, and not worry about LeBron James and his group and his business managers who have done a lot of good things. And I know we can maybe criticize Rich Paul for how he's handled some of these contract negotiations as a hardliner, but those guys have certainly done a lot of good things out there.
And the team currently 5-6, 10th in the East. How much backlash do you hear about the way that the Golden State Warriors were able to go out and Kevin Durant? Is there still some resentment around the league circles for assembling this, quote, super team?
No, I don't think so. Maybe when we get into the spring and we get playing, you know, for the playoffs and you know, it gets shrunk down from 30 to 16 teams and it gets a little bit more magnified. I think, you know, them losing the opening night to San Antonio, I think diffused a lot of different things, and it kind of, you know, put some of that talk on the back burner. And, you know, it's interesting. We're going to have a new CBA coming in right in for next year. And the way they look, the rules are and what they'll look like, even with these rules, you know, Golden State would have been able to go out and sign Durant last year anyway. So it's not like they're about to put in a bunch of rules that's going to limit a lot of, you know, a lot of player movement. And I think where we've seen the Clippers get off to a good start, we've seen San Antonio get off to a good start. It's not like, you know, Golden State is, you know, 12-0 and there's a bunch of 500 teams. I think we've seen a little bit of some competition up top.
When you think about Draymond, what kind of a player is he? And is he one of the most rounded players in the NBA? Can play the center, can play the point, can play forward. I mean, is he one of the most diverse players you've seen in the league?
Well, he is, and I think when you look at how the league has gone, and you know, it's you know, I always use the word positionless, and I think that's where he fits in how it's kind of revolved, and you know, especially now, in how this Warrior team is constructed with Steph and Kevin, you know, Clay is kind of, I guess, the third wheel, and Draymond's the guy who can kind of do a little bit of everything. And I think that's where a lot of teams, you know, miss that piece where, you know, maybe there's a team that has one or two of those superstars, but from a, you know, that safety net, there's not somebody there. And I think that's where kind of Draymond fills that role.
Bobby Marks, former Nets assistant general manager, now doing terrific work with The Vertical on Yahoo.com, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Bobby, thank you so much for your time this morning. We appreciate it. We look forward to catching up again down the road.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Bobby Marks, ladies and gentlemen. So, back in the news, Conor McGregor's calling out Floyd Mayweather again, saying he could beat him. Those two trying to get a fight together.
I saw that. He's got no chance against Floyd Mayweather.
It's not about having a chance, Dibs. It's about a monster payday. It's the right move for both guys. Let me tell you exactly how this works. The last time I went on air and said this, the first time these rumors came around, everyone comes out, Fortinball, you're an idiot. McGregor would never have a chance. It's not about having a chance. Stop looking at it as an athletic event. Just look at it as entertainment. Those two would be coming together to fleece you for every last dollar you've got. Here's how this would work. They'd schedule the fight. You could do a 10-rounder non-title bout. Put the two against one another. McGregor clearly would not be able to beat Floyd in a boxing match. Clearly. But Floyd is the master at making the other guy look like he's in the fight. He's very good at carrying opponents. He carried Pacquiao 12 rounds. He's carried multiple fighters over the last 4 years 12 rounds. Why? Number one, he doesn't necessarily want to get hit. He's the best defensive fighter in football, in boxing. But he could get McGregor in the ring, and he could make it look good. First couple rounds, I don't know. Then he outpoints him for a few rounds to make sure he establishes that lead. He could carry McGregor 10 rounds, and they could charge $100 for you to watch that. We'd all tune in, and they'd each walk away with, I mean, Floyd could make at least $100 million on that. McGregor could make at least $50 million. It's a beautiful idea for both of them. They should absolutely do it.
And Floyd let him hit him for a little bit, but Floyd protects himself. In 8th to 9th round, Floyd might try to step on it because it turned into it. Because Floyd knows he can't hurt. Floyd knows he can dominate him. And McGregor is a decent striker, but he'd get crushed by Floyd, like you're saying. But Floyd, and they can make it very entertaining.
Yeah, think of it as a WWE bout.
Yeah.
Which I don't watch either. So there, you just put it into a perfect package for me. I would not watch a second of that. Now, the weigh-in, if you want to charge me $50 to watch the weigh-in, that I would watch.
You know how many people would watch? Because the UFC has a huge following, and the boxing community would want to see Floyd just destroy him. You would have a lot of people, because this McGregor, he sold out Madison Square Garden, Dibs. Dib, he sold Madison Square Garden.
I don't deny it.
Dib, he's draw Dibs.
I don't deny that people will watch it. I'm just simply saying it would be unwatchable.
You do take a Dibs instead, huh?
You do it at Jerry World. You sell over 100,000 tickets. You have the largest live gate in the history of a boxing fight. You charge $100 a pop on pay-per-view. Conor McGregor would easily make $50 million. Floyd would easily make $100 million. Yeah, you'd come away feeling cheap, ripped off, right? But we felt the same way coming off Pacquiao Mayweather. That's how it works. They'd be able to pull that off. I'm telling you, they'd make a fortune on it. Alden Smith, it's been 1 year to the day since his banishment from the NFL. Roger Goodell, Is he going to let him back in? And if he does, when could we see him on the field for the Raiders? All that coming up in 2 minutes. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.